Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you enjoy this podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, be sure to check out our other paranormal podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's episodes of The Grave Talks. Today in The Grave Talks, Raised by the Supernatural, a conversation with Sophia Temporelli. Sophia Temporelli grew up and lived in an actively haunted house for much of her formative childhood years, a home that was not haunted by a friendly or pleasant spirit, rather something that certainly had ill and dark intent. This would lead her on a life quest to find answers as to who, what, and why the dead seemed to be surrounding the living. She started investigating the paranormal at age 8 and started her own broadcast about the paranormal at 12 years old. The paranormal and supernatural are truly an ingrained element of her life. This is her story today on The Grave Talks.
You know, I wish I had a clear answer on that, but I don't think I do. I have just always had a fascination for the unknown and the paranormal. I mean, I loved Scooby-Doo growing up. I was a weird toddler. Sleepy Hollow was like a favorite movie of mine because it's normal toddler things.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's super normal. I mean, the Hex Girls were like icons to me. I still have Pop Funkos I recently got because, you know, who doesn't love Scooby-Doo's The Hex Girls? So I've just always had an interest. You know, my parents are kind of eclectic. You know, we had like Haunted Mansion stuff. I mean, that was just super normal. They took me to one of the openings of the Haunted Mansion movie when it came out. So it's just always kind of been a family thing. But I think deeper down psychologically, I've had, you know, experiences from before I can remember that I know. So I lived in a haunted house, and now I didn't have experiences that I was aware of until I was about 9. But looking back, after we realized the house was haunted, we started realizing some of the things from before that time period were kind of like, oh, that's unusual. One of them was, I don't remember this at all, but my mom said I would stand with my back against the garage door, just staring frozen. And I wouldn't move. If she called me, she would have to physically come up and touch my hand for me to move. And I think things like that probably stuck with me somewhere in my subconscious that I don't even remember, that kind of led me to having an interest in the paranormal and having an interest in, you know, the spooky side of life, whether it's Scooby-Doo or the Haunted Mansion or the real side of it.
Sure.
And yeah, so it's just, you know, I think there's things from a time I don't remember, but I think starting out, I've just always liked weird stuff. And then when I was about 8, my parents, for their anniversary, like I said, they're a bit eclectic. They decided to go do something special for their 10-year anniversary of their wedding. And they were, you know, what's super romantic? A ghost tour. So we lived super close to the Queen Mary, and they decided, hey, let's go on a ghost tour there. And they noticed that a psychic named Peter James was running the tour, who, if people don't know, was actually the psychic featured on Sightings, which was their date night when they were, you know, first started dating. They would watch Sightings and the X-Files. So for them, that was like a really big moment. And they decided, you know, that really kind of full circle. So they decided to go on this tour hosted by Peter James. And for some reason, I just got really jealous. I was like, why am I not going? And so my parents are like, oh, yeah, no, okay. So they contacted Peter and said, is this safe for Sophia to do? And he said, yes, there's over 500 ghosts on the ship and they're all my friends. Bring her on the tour and I'll have her call out to the ghost girl, Jackie. And this would happen to be Peter's final tour before he passed away. So, you know, the thing that kind of initially started my parents' interest in the paranormal as a couple ultimately led to, you know, my dad writing a book for Peter because they just really felt a bond with him. After the initial meetings, and Peter really wanted his story out there. And so he asked my dad to co-author the book. And then, you know, we went to paranormal events after that, and it just kind of happened naturally. Mm-hmm. So it started from an interest to just kind of being thrust in it, you know, after the book was written.
Sure. What an interesting way to kind of dive into this. That's a unique story. I don't think I've heard one quite like that after talking yeah. to hundreds of people. Like, yours is very unique. That's really cool, though. So tell yeah. me about the house a little bit more. You said, you know, when you started to look back, there was the incidents where you're staring at the garage door and mom has to come and physically take you away from it. Mm-hmm. What other things did they look back on, your parents specifically, where it was kind of like, yeah, that was kind of weird. Maybe there was more to that.
Yeah, so we had been in the paranormal about a year at the time. So I started when I was 8 as an investigator. And when I was about 9, we had lived in this house. I had my whole life. From the day I came home from the hospital, went straight to that house. So I grew up in that house. And so did my father, actually. So my dad's adopted, but his father was a paranoid schizophrenic. So from, I don't actually know when my dad moved in that house, but I would assume a very young child. Mm-hmm. He lived in that house until he was 9 years of age, and he had to move out due to my grandfather's mental illness. And after my grandfather died, my parents moved in, and I grew up there. The ghost in the house was not my grandfather, I will state that. Okay. So there's just little things from the time of my dad being a child that you look back and think that's weird to when I was. When I was about 9, I just kept feeling like I was being watched everywhere. It felt like the ceiling, the walls, everything were covered with eyes. There was not a single place I could go where I did not feel like I was being watched. And one day I was in my parents' bedroom and I saw a man standing in my mom's closet. Obviously, no one should be in there. And I knew that it wasn't a real person. I knew it was a ghost when I saw him. And so I told my mom, I was like, there's a man in your closet. And my mom has never been one to tell me I was wrong. She didn't know what to think because, like I said, we had lived there for a while. Me, 9 years, my parents probably almost 12. And my dad, being the guy who wrote the book for the psychic, said, no, that's your imagination. So that was super helpful. But, you know, just after having that experience, my mom at this point didn't know what to think. My dad thought it was my imagination. One day my mom was putting makeup on in her vanity and she heard 3 knocks from the inside of her closet door, which again, no one should be in there. So my parents grabbed a recorder and they caught voices on it. Really clear EVPs that said, I'll help you put these lights up, which for people who hadn't seen my old house, my mom had, kind of like this circular chair in there and it had a chandelier type lighting on it that no one knew how to mount. So it'd been sitting there for a couple of years. You would think that's a really helpful ghost. No, he wasn't. He was super creepy, very weird. Another reason my dad would have thought it was all in my imagination is the ghost was solely focused on women, which this is important too, because after we realized it was haunted and my parents started telling their friends like, yeah, there's ghosts in the house. Any one of my mom's female friends who would, you know, house it when my parents would go on vacation or, you know, just go away for a weekend, said that they felt physically uncomfortable in the house. But of course, no one's going to tell you, hey, your house really creeps me out. Mm-hmm. But these women were having these experiences from before we even knew.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had these experiences when I was, God, I don't know, like 1. I could walk, but I couldn't talk at the time. So I'm not sure. Really sure what age range that is.
Yeah.
And when my dad was younger, my grandmother actually said that one of their neighbors had come over and said, there's ghosts in your house. And my grandma's like, yeah, sure. Like, what do you think when someone says that and you've had no experiences there?
Yeah.
So there was that. And, you know, it was just little things for the years. At one point, my other grandfather, he had died, not in that house, but he... You know, my grandmother hadn't gotten out since he died. And it was her first night just going out, having fun, you know, dancing for New Year's at the Knights Hall. And my mom encouraged her to go meet some guys, you know, go, don't be alone the rest of your life. Go meet someone. Mm-hmm. So my grandma went out. She had a great time, was dancing. And that night on New Year's, I was at my aunt's house, but my parents were home alone. they were in the kitchen and my dad physically saw a piece of metal fly off of a shelf and hit my mom square in the back, and she felt it. He saw it fly 6 feet away.
Yeah.
And this is before we knew the house was haunted. So my mom thought it was my grandpa just saying, why would you go encourage her to meet someone else after me?
Sure.
But looking back, like, that was the ghost trying to make contact. So it was things like that. Or when I was younger, I loved Charlie's Angels, and Drew Barrymore's character was my favorite. So my dad got me an autographed photo, and my parents put it up because obviously, why wouldn't you got me an autographed photo of Drew Barrymore? And I was like, you have to take it down. It's watching me. You have to remove the photo. And they're like, why do you hate Drew Barrymore? And I think looking back, I was associating the face on my wall with a spirit actually physically watching me.
Mm-hmm. Just the eyes that are looking, that you think are looking at you. Yeah. Was your parents wondering at all at this point in time? You know, you try to narrow down everything that's going on, and, you know, you obviously are acting a little different, you know, in terms of how you're reacting to things. And you're saying some things that otherwise would be construed as just, this is not quite right. Maybe not paranormal, but maybe paranormal. Were they wondering, like, is there something going on with her, you know, mentally? Did they take you to a doctor or anything? Just to kind of like cover their bases, or were they?
No, not at all. I mean, I was like 3 or 4 years old.
Okay.
So, I mean, every little kid has, like, you know,
sure,
some form of a nightmare or stuff.
Okay.
So my mom just wanted to make me feel better. My dad thought the solution was watching Nanny 911 and deciding that that was the right parenting route. Wasn't. So they just figured, because I didn't want to sleep in my room.
Yeah.
My mom just wanted to hold me and make sure I was okay. And my dad wanted me to leave the room. So he's like, Nanny 911 says, just leave the door and they'll figure it out themselves. So he tried that. I'm very stubborn, so that didn't work out very well for him.
Yeah.
Like switching sides of the bed. So when I went to go find my mom, it was him. And then I realized that. So I just go to his side. So, you know, his tricks weren't working really
sure.
well. And my mom just felt bad because she never wants to see me sad or scared.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was just so little. It wasn't ever anything like that. I mean, mm-hmm. I couldn't even talk when I was standing with my back against the wall. She doesn't know what's going on with me. So she just, you know, I don't know. It could be a spider or something. Who knows?
Sure. Could be a lot of things. It wasn't quite time to say that there's some sort of disorder going on. It's just, kids say strange things. Kids act weird sometimes, and then you get Nanny 911. You see, when I was a kid in the 90s, it was let's watch Rescue 911 and learn about all the horrible ways we could die from tragic accidents. And then William Shatner comes on and narrates that and Unsolved Mysteries. Those were the two that we would get sat in front of.
So for my parents, it was really just, you know, they just figured that it was just the normal kid things.
Yeah.
And I think looking back, you realize that there was more to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, stretch out over a long period of time. I was like 3 or 4 years old when I was having the Drew Barrymore problem. I couldn't even talk when I was standing frozen. Mm-hmm. So my parents didn't think anything of it. My dad was annoyed. My mom felt bad. So it wasn't like anything like that. And then when I started seeing the ghost, my parents didn't know what to think. Just we had already been in the paranormal, so they understood ghosts exist. So did I. But since we had already lived there for so long and had no experiences, so we thought that they just didn't know. And then when they started catching the EVPs, and the activity really ramped up and progressed from there, and then it became very apparent to everyone there was an actual situation in the home.
So your parents then started to experience more things as well.
The thing that my dad always says that really sold it for him is that the pug saw the ghost. We had a pug named Lucy, and I would say where the ghost was. And at random times, she would go stand in the hallway barking into my parents' bedroom super violently. And that's where the ghost would be. So my dad said that really confirmed it for him, because not the child, it's the pug that does it for you.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe, or visit thegravetalks.com.